All right. That's another thing. When there's only a few people, it makes it harder to preach the word. You just talk the word. I'll do my best. Let's open our Bibles to Exodus chapter 1. So, all of you were here last week, right? Brother Song, were you here last week? Okay. We started a study in Exodus last week, and we've begun to study these 40 chapters of this book in the Bible. And we're going to see in this book how God brings his people out of bondage and how he delivers them from their captors, setting them free by his marvelous grace and his awesome power. Like I said, we were studying in chapter 1 last time, and we've made our way down through verse number 17. But tonight we'll back up to the 15th verse so that we can get the context. That is part of the context of what we'll look at tonight. Okay. The children of Israel in bondage in Egypt are multiplying so rapidly that they have become a threat to the nation of Egypt, or to the social fabric and structure of Egypt. And so the king of that country, the Pharaoh, has ordered that the midwives among the Hebrews who deliver their babies, he's ordered them that if they see a male child born, they are ordered by the government to kill it, to stop the growth and the expanding population of the Hebrew people. So let's read here, Exodus chapter 1, verse 15. And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of the one was Shiphrah, and the name of the other Puah. And he said, when ye do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women, and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. And the idea here is that the Egyptians are concerned about the Hebrew people becoming an army, a fighting force that would be able to overthrow the Egyptian government or be able to aid and support some foreign invader that would be coming to overthrow the Egyptian government. Verse 17, but the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive. Okay, now remember, God said in his word, in no uncertain terms, what I mean is you couldn't mistake it. It's very clear. God said, thou shalt not kill. So when a government order comes down to kill these babies, there is a law higher than man's law. There is a governor higher than a human governor. And on rare occasions, very rare occasions, God's people may be compelled to obey God, even if it means disobeying the powers that be. In Acts chapter 5, verse 29, we studied recently, so you probably remember that there were some men who were commanded not to preach and teach in the name of Jesus Christ. But the Bible says in that verse, Acts 5:29, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Obey God rather than men. Now, I'll be honest with you. There is something in me that doesn't like being told what to do. How about you? At least sometimes, right? I think there's something in most people who have lived in a free society, that freedom tends to stir up in them a spirit of rebellion. You know, of you're not going to tell me what to do. And then I think that the people who have lived in oppressed societies, they have such a strong desire for freedom that the inner thought of their heart must always be, how can we overthrow these oppressors? these slave masters. So with that in mind, never far from the surface in the life of any man is a willingness to disobey governmental authority. Yet God in his word, Romans 13, says that Christians ought to obey the powers that be, obey the governments. Okay, and then Peter wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he said that for good testimony we should obey the laws of the land. That's in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 to 15. So God wants us, he does want us to be law-abiding citizens, those who obey the laws of the land. We are commanded to be such, and I'm concerned about those who seem to never preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, but are instead continually preaching to Christians about rebellion against the government and promoting civil disobedience. You know, if you threw a little bit of that in with your preaching of the gospel, that would be one thing, but, you know, if your preaching consists of just nonstop proclaiming of rebel, overthrow, disobey, and you never preach salvation by grace through faith and the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm staying clear of you. I'm not, because I don't see that as a pattern for New Testament Christianity, not anywhere from Acts to Revelation. So anyway, these Hebrew midwives, they're faced with a real choice. Do we violate the word of God and kill these male babies, or do we risk punishment at the hands of a government ordained by God to punish disobedience? And they chose to obey God rather than men. They saved the men children alive. All right, Exodus 1:18. Verse 18. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said unto them, why have ye done this thing and have saved the men children alive? And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and are delivered ere the midwives come in unto them. Now here's what we got to do. We have got to determine some things here. Because this passage that we just read, those two verses there, they have been used by people down through the centuries as justification for lying. Saying that this is one case where lying is okay. Okay, they point to this passage and say, if someone asks you to do something wrong and you don't do it, and then having done what is right, and you know you're about to get in trouble because you did what is right, well, then it's okay to lie, just like those Hebrew midwives lied to the king of Egypt. All right, now before we take another look at what was actually said in those verses, I want you to come with me to Romans chapter 3. And let's see what the Holy Spirit says about our approving, our giving sanction to committing one sin after having stood boldly against committing another sin. Would God have been pleased if those women had killed the babies, if they had committed murder? Do you think God would have been pleased with that? I don't believe that for one minute. Would God have been pleased if they had told lies? You say, well, under the circumstances, dot, dot, dot. Well, all right, that's probably what most Christians would say. But let's see if that's what the Bible says. Romans chapter 3, verse number 8. And not rather as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil that good may come, whose damnation is just. Okay, do you see that? It would help to read the whole passage there to get the context, but the Holy Spirit of God said through the pen of the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 3, it is not permissible to do evil, even if some good may result. Okay, now what would be the resulting good in these women lying to the king of Egypt? The only good I see out of that is that they would save their own lives, okay, and save their own necks, okay? And you say, well, who could blame them? Well, not me. Who could blame them? Not another human being, but who could? Who could blame them? God could. Now, here's the difficulty, especially for those who go to a liberal, modernistic, humanistic church, whatever the sign may say on that church. Someone who goes to a church where the final authority and the ultimate consideration is, well, what do you think about it? Instead of, what does the Bible say about it? Okay, someone who goes to that kind of church is not going to like this kind of preaching. But God's word is the final authority, whether you recognize it or not. God's word will determine right and wrong in every case, whether you agree with it or you don't agree with it. God said, don't kill. God said, don't lie. Now, if everybody in your church would say that these women were justified in lying, No. Can you go check it out, maybe? All right. Okay, now if everybody in your church would say that these women were justified in lying, that is not going to influence the Lord. And if the Lord said, we ought to speak every man truth with his neighbor, it doesn't matter what you think about that or what I think about that. We are duty bound by the word of God to tell the truth, to always tell the truth. You say, well, if they would have told the truth, there would have been some awful consequences. They might have lost their lives. Well, many times there's awful consequences for telling the truth. You know, maybe you'll lose your job or something else. But a lie is a lie, and God said, don't lie. Okay, many times someone suffers greatly for telling the truth. But you know what God said? Tell the truth. That's what he said. Don't lie for any reason. All right, now let's go back and take a look at what the verse actually says. Verse number 19. And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and are delivered ere the midwives come in unto them. That's what they said. Now people assume that they're lying. People who want to use this passage to justify their own dishonesty, to give them a license to lie themselves, they'll assume that these midwives are lying, but it doesn't say that they're lying. Okay? Now let me try to illustrate this for you. Do you know what would happen if you were raising sheep or goats and you decided that you would try to do what Jacob did in Genesis chapter 30, so that you could control what color the offspring of your sheep would be. And so you go out there in your field, you cut off some tree branches, you cut some streaks in those branches, and you put those branches in the watering trough where your sheep drink, and you know what's going to happen? Absolutely nothing. So why did it work with Jacob? And it's never worked after that. Well, it seems like God, remember him? Seems like God wrought supernaturally on behalf of the one he chose to bless. He temporarily modified the norms of animal reproduction in that case. All right, another thing. You remember the ark? Remember that? Noah built the ark. Remember how those animals came in, two by two? One pair of the unclean animals, seven pairs of the clean animals. They came into that ark, and they didn't fight, claw, bite, attack, or eat one another. Did you know that that was God, supernaturally God, overruling the natural law and order on behalf of someone or something that he chose to bless? How about that? All right, now let me ask you something then. With that in mind, is it possible? Is it possible that after the king of Egypt ordered those attending Hebrew midwives to kill male children as they were being born, is it possible that God saw to it that the Hebrew women delivered their babies so rapidly that the children were alive and in their mother's arms before those midwives ever even arrived? Is that possible? Now you got to answer yes, because it is possible. I mean, look, if God can make a baby, he can make a quick delivery of that baby. In Genesis 3:16, God told Eve, "In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children." Couldn't he have reversed that curse temporarily for a select group of women? It seems obvious to me that God is in control of whether or not childbirth is going to be easy or difficult, slow or fast. There's no doubt in my mind, and there shouldn't be any doubt in your mind either, that God could have made these women to deliver their children so rapidly that no midwife was even present when those babies were born to be able to commit the government-commanded murders. Okay, don't you think that's possible? Okay, then I ask you something. Since you don't know that these women lied, why would you assume that they did lie? If you don't know that they're telling the truth, why would you not assume that they are telling the truth? Okay, you say, well, that's just your opinion. Well, the others, just the opinion of somebody who wants to justify lying. Let me ask you something in support of my position after we read verse number 20. Verse 20, therefore, God dealt well with the midwives. For lying? Probably not, right? I mean, let me ask you, can you show me a place in the Bible where God says, if you lie, I will deal well with you? I don't think so. The Bible says in Proverbs 11:18, the wicked worketh a deceitful work, but to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. If God rewarded them, and he did, well, then they were not wicked. If God rewarded them, then they were not practicing deceit. God does not commend that, and God does not bless that. I would say to you that God's blessing upon these women was because of the bold stand that they took for truth, for righteousness, and for life. not because they were so cunning and they lied. That's what I believe. Now, why did they not kill these male babies? The Bible says in verse 17 that they feared God. Ecclesiastes 8:12 says, though a sinner do evil 100 times, and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. It's absolutely true. The fear of the Lord, that's the right way to go. And so God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. You say, that word waxed, what does that mean? They waxed very mighty. I think I need a new version. I need a modern Bible. I can't understand that. Really? Really, if you never heard the word, which I know you have, if you don't know the word, which, okay, maybe you might not, let's read it again. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. If you had to guess at what the word means, you could do it. You don't need a new Bible. You just need a better education. It doesn't take long to learn the meaning of one word. Why throw out the pure, perfect, holy Bible for a modern perversion when you could just learn the meaning of a word that you didn't know before the day began? But I think you do know the word, because while you're saying that the Bible is not up to date, it's not modern, the tidal report, the report on the tides for fishermen, and the surf report for the surfers, and the almanac report for the farmers and planters speaks about the moon waxing and waning, from the new moon to full moon. The moon is waxing. It's getting bigger. It's growing. And from full moon to new moon, the moon is waning. It's shrinking. It's getting smaller. It's not an archaic word. They still use that word. It's not an outdated word. It's not a word that nobody uses anymore. So let's stick to the Bible. Let's stop listening to infidels who don't believe the Bible and who are trying to talk you out of your faith in the Bible. And let's listen to men preach and teach the Word of God who actually believe the Word of God. I think we'll all be better off for that. Therefore, God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses. If you run the cross references, this has to do with establishing their families. That's what that means. Establishing their families. A house does not mean the building in which you live. Not always. Sometimes in the Bible, it does mean that, but oftentimes it means the families. Okay? Psalm 127 verse 1 says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Now that's not saying that God is going to put up walls for you. He's not going to build a physical house and put a roof over your head. Okay, so when it says, except the Lord build the house, he's speaking of building up that family, establishing that family. Moses in his house, the book of Hebrews talks about, compared to Jesus Christ in his house. Okay, and so we understand, we see that what God did, he blessed, he established, he caused to grow those families of these midwives. Okay. Basically, you want it simple, he gave them babies to reward them for not killing babies. There was not going to be any chance of their families dying out for lack of babies. All right, verse 22. And Pharaoh charged all his people. Okay, so now he's charging his people. Now, here he's called Pharaoh. Other times in the same chapter, you've seen him called the King of Egypt. I think those are two titles for the same office, used interchangeably. Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born, ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter, ye shall save alive. All right, so since the Hebrew midwives could not kill their own firstborn children, Pharaoh deputizes all Egyptians and gives them license to kill Hebrew children. Now, most people know only as much about Exodus as they've seen in a movie. And I'm not being critical. Most people are not Christians. Muslims have a different version of the events in this book. New Christians, they may not have read the book yet. Okay? And there are other Christians, and they go to a church where they spend all their time dancing and chanting and waving their arms around and hearing inspirational preaching about how good they are, how wonderful they are. But they never learn the Bible. So I'm not being critical, because there really are many people in this world who may not know anything more about Exodus than what they saw in the Charlton Heston movie. And so they wonder, is it right? How could it be? How could that be right? Should God have really killed the firstborn male child in every home in Egypt on Passover night? Okay, think about it. If your Bible started in Exodus chapter 9, and you're reading about those plagues on Egypt, and you read about that last plague when the Lord came through Egypt. The Lord came through Egypt and slew the firstborn male in every house. If that's all you knew about these Egyptians, you'd say, well, wait a minute, that seems very wrong, very inappropriate. What kind of a God would do such a thing, right? But suppose you had the entire book of Exodus and you brought to mind, or the Holy Spirit brought to your remembrance, these words from Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And you remember that it was the law of the land in Egypt, predating the time of Moses' birth. And so, for decades before the Passover, for at least 80 years, because after Moses was born, he left Egypt when he was 40, right? And then he came back 40 years later, 80 years old. So, and we don't know how long these Egyptians had been killing babies before Moses was born, but it was the law in the land of Egypt that an Egyptian could kill a Hebrew male baby by throwing it into the river. Pharaoh made that law. That was the law. All right, so let me ask you something. If God recompensed the Egyptians, who by law were killing male babies by taking the life of the firstborn male in the homes of the Egyptians, who can argue that that's anything but a just and equal retribution for their individual and their national crimes? Okay, they reaped what they sowed, basically. You say, Brother Bob, where's the positive note to end this Bible study tonight? Here's the positive note. God is righteous, and in his time, he will do what is right. You can count on it. Amen. We'll stop there. Let's stand and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for being a righteous God. Thank you, Lord, for not being wishy-washy, but making it very clear what you expect. We thank you, Lord, that there's no question about this issue of lying. We know that it's always wrong. There's no excuse for it. Help us, Lord, to catch ourselves and to quit lying if we have that as a habit in our lives. Because we don't want to displease you, Lord. We don't want to sin, and we know that it is a sin. We thank you, Lord, for revealing to us, Lord, that your word is right, your laws are righteous, and you will always do what is right, and we can count on that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.